Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of Lucy Talks. I'm your host, Lucy Woodward, and I'm so excited to have you listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. Lucy Talks is designed for meaningful conversations about things that really matter in life. From climate change to confidence, from mental health to happiness, I hope this podcast helps you find something you're looking for. Hello everyone, I hope you are having a lovely day. Welcome back to Lucy Talks. Bet you weren't expecting this. I don't think I was expecting this either. Hi, I am currently recording this from Thailand, which is very, very cool. Been in Thailand since the start of August, and then I went to Cambodia and Vietnam. I'll potentially go into more about our trip, but this episode I kind of just wanted to do a bit of a sit down, a bit of like a typical Lucy Talks episode where I'm chatting about things that I've learned and things that have been on my mind, because I was doing a bit of journaling yesterday in a cafe in Lampang where I'm currently, and I just realised how much I missed the podcast, which I really, honestly, like, I've loved doing the podcast, but I kind of didn't expect to do any episodes while I was away. Like, I kind of thought, right, I'll just, you know, have a break from it, won't be that kind of attached to it, won't miss it or anything. And I actually really do. And I miss not necessarily, like, the process of uploading it and recording it and editing it, all of that. I more miss the way it helps me organize my thoughts, and I've actually really noticed a difference in how, like, I don't have the same systems in my brain to like organize my ideas, and when I think about something or I'm experiencing something new, typically in my normal life where I'm recording a podcast episode every week, I'll be thinking of ideas and I'll be like writing them down and making notes and kind of shifting them around into different episode ideas, and I've always got a few on the go. It's always like whirring away in the background, and not having that is actually, I've really noticed the difference in my thoughts and like how kind of decluttered my brain normally feels compared to now. Obviously, like, there's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot of change, a lot of moving about all the time, and a lot of new experiences, and it's simultaneously amazing and overwhelming and really exciting and kind of give me a break. So yeah, definitely been a roller coaster, but I wanted to do this just to kind of get some of that thought process back, I guess. And yeah, yesterday I kind of was just writing about it, and I said it surprised me how much I miss the intellectual stimulation that the podcast gives me. I love being able to work out how I'm feeling and organize my ideas cohesively. And it's really become such a useful tool for understanding myself and gives me such a good sense of self. And I think I'm missing that sense of self a little bit lately because I'm so out of my comfort zone. I've definitely settled into it now, but the first like few weeks slash the last month have been kind of interesting in terms of sense of self, because you're so out of your normal environment. I really value routines. I'm definitely a creature of habit, and like I like to have a base. I like to have my room kind of all set up how I like it, and that's definitely a comfort, and I can obviously live without it, but it does give me a great sense of self and a great sense of control. And I think I wasn't necessarily anticipating how much that was valuable to me and how much it helped my mental health on a day-to-day basis, because you don't tend to think about that because it is just your normal environment. So yeah, I thought I'd come and do a little podcast episode, and I'm quite excited to just sit and chat. I'm recording this on my phone. I didn't bring my microphone with me. So hopefully the audio is fine. I think it'll be fine. I've turned the aircon off, so I'm gonna start sweating as I sit and chat here, but that is all good. So yeah, this episode, you can probably tell from the title, is going to be five things that I have learned / am learning, more likely the latter. While I've been away, while I've been traveling, I've still got about 3 months of travel left, which is so exciting. And now that I've, like I said, settled into it quite a bit more, I am super excited for the rest of it. And I also want to do a little caveat. I don't want to sound like I'm being ungrateful if I'm mentioning any kind of negative aspects of this trip. I just feel like it's not helpful to be lying, I guess, essentially, if I'm hiding away from things that have been challenging personally, because that's the point of this episode, I guess, is just to be vulnerable and like to have the space to organize my thoughts. So that's what I'm going to treat it as. Very, very fortunate to be out here, and I'm genuinely having such a good time. It's such a cool experience getting to see all these things. I think one of my favorite places I've been to so far is Angkor Wat in Siem Reap in Cambodia. Such a cool place to visit. The YouTube video of this is currently a work in progress and should be up fairly soon, so maybe it's already up already by the time this podcast goes up, or maybe it is coming soon. But yeah, I loved Angkor Wat. I felt really content that day, and it was such a gorgeous, gorgeous place. Another of my favourite things that we've done is Sticky Falls in Chiang Mai. That vlog is up, and so many people have watched it, which is crazy, really. Yeah, it was like these waterfalls that you can climb up because the rocks have kind of formed in a certain way that the limestone is really sticky. You can basically climb up waterfalls, and it was so much fun. I think we might actually do it again this weekend if we have time, which is very exciting. But yeah, so many cool things, and I know that I'm gonna look back and just be so grateful for all of it, like the ups and the downs. And already the low points that I've had, I'm already grateful for them, because it's given me kind of a new way of looking at things and a new perspective. And it's all just a learning curve, but doesn't mean it's not challenging in the moment. Anyway, ups and downs, that's just life. And I think traveling is naturally going to be a more extreme version of that, because there's just so many new things going on all the time. And, you know, it's a roller coaster. So with that in mind, just, you know, take what I say with a pinch of salt. And like, I don't think there's any point in being dishonest or like shying away from things that are just part of like being human. So yeah, let's get into it. I don't know how well I'll be able to edit this, but we shall see. If there's a little jingle here, then well done, Lucy. Okay, so the first thing that I have learned while backpacking so far is that you have to be kind to yourself. You have to be kind to yourself, and no one else, even if you're with the kindest people ever, like I am, they're not inside your head. They're, you know, not able to be there for you in the same way that you're able to be there for yourself. And that is just like the same for any situation. I feel like this is really hard to word, but essentially, I'm the only person that can be kind to me, like from within. No one else is like able to get inside and actually change the beliefs that I have about myself, or like give myself that drive to be more positive and like, you know, put the work in. No one else can actually do that for you. You can only do that for yourself. And I think as well, like everyone's idea of what they need and what they need to feel good, and like what a happy life is to them, what makes them feel safe or like fulfilled, that's different for everyone. And you're the only one that knows what that is for you. And in turn, like, you owe it to yourself to show up for yourself and to, yeah, just show yourself that kindness. So I'm definitely learning that. And I think being a kind person also includes being kind to yourself. It's not selfish as well. It's a common thing that I tend to, or common thing that my brain tends to tell me is like, oh, it's selfish to spend so much time thinking about making yourself happy. But really, it's actually the opposite, because when you are feeling anxious or in a bit of a funk and you can't really, like, you're just kind of in a negative thought spiral, it's the opposite of being kind to others to keep yourself in that headspace, because you're not helping anyone, you're not helping yourself, and it's like effort for other people to try and coax you out of it. Like, it's not doing anyone any good, because you're just thinking about yourself when you're in that negative mindset. You're just trying to get yourself out of it. Like, you're not worrying about social issues or looking after your friends, or, you know, it's not that it's entirely like black and white like that, but hopefully you get the gist of what I mean. If you're a happy person, you're way more likely to be selfless and giving your time freely to others, because you're already full of, like, your own cup is already filled, and you don't need to spend hours of your day kind of getting yourself back on track. So I think that's the current mindset shift that I'm trying to do, is just getting out of my own way, essentially, and trying to show up for myself more. At the end of the day, just to be a bit nicer to myself. So yeah, that is the first thing on this list. It's just, you got to be kind to yourself while you're traveling, in life in general, through ups and downs. That is a huge superpower, and it's not always easy, but it is something that I'm really trying to work on. Okay, the second thing is that sometimes this is way harder to do than at other times, and it's not as simple as just saying, like, oh, just be kind to yourself, like, stop beating yourself up. These beliefs are, like, hardwired, and I think traveling is just an environment where beliefs that we have about ourselves are naturally gonna come up more, because, like I said, it's a more high pressure environment, things are changing, things are always, like, on the go, and emotions are just basically more up and down, so you can't necessarily hide from things as easily as you can when you're in a, like, safe environment, comfortable environment at home. So sometimes dealing with these things and, like, being kind to yourself, I guess, is way harder to do than at other times. And I kind of came up with a little analogy when I was trying to explain this to Freya the other day. So essentially, imagine you have a slope, and it's quite a shallow slope, maybe like the gradient of a doorstop. You've got a ball, and you're trying to push this ball up to the top of the hill. It's not too much effort, like, you can quite easily, with, like, intention behind it and just, you know, some level of discipline, push that ball to the top of the hill. And the hill is kind of going from a more negative mindset to a more positive mindset, from feeling anxious to feeling at peace, or from feeling just a bit kind of down to feeling good again. So on a typical day, that doesn't require too much effort, and it does still require you to show up for yourself and to want to feel good and want to feel happy. But you can kind of do that without too much effort. But on a day where potentially I'm feeling very, very anxious, or, like, there's a lot going on, and it's a busy travel day, and there's loads of noises or different sounds or different smells, different places that we're going to, like, a lot going on, basically, that gradient then becomes more like, I don't know, 60% rather than the original 20% gradient. And while it's still possible to push that ball from the bottom to the top of the hill, it's so much harder, and it is like a dead weight in your hands. You're trying to really push this ball up the hill with all your might, but you're not getting anywhere, and maybe you push it slightly and then it rolls back down. And I think what I'm trying to learn is, like, the difference between a day where I should push the ball up the hill and, you know, put that energy in to get myself feeling good, and when it's a day when that is just going to lead to feeling worse about myself because it's really hard to do, or just an inevitability that I'm going to be feeling anxious that day. Because you hear people say, oh, you know, like, be positive. And I genuinely think that is a great mindset to be in. But sometimes it is just really, really difficult. And you also hear people say, don't hide away from your emotions, that you've got to feel them, you've got to work through them. It's trying to tell you something. And it's hard to kind of know which path of that to go down sometimes. So I think in my mind, this is a good analogy for, like, listening to my body and knowing when is a good time to push through it. For example, like, one morning I woke up feeling a little bit anxious, like, had some worries about the day ahead, but I was able to kind of shut them down, reframe them, think about it in a more positive light, and ended up having one of the best days. Other times it's like just fighting a losing battle, and that is the sort of day when you just got to rest and, like, look after yourself, and that is showing yourself kindness. So I think that is kind of an analogy that has been helping me out. Sometimes it's just way harder than other times, or also for different people. Like, some people might start out at a 40 degree gradient, some people might start out at 5. Like, you know, it's different for everyone, and I think having an appreciation of that, especially when you're in a group traveling as well, is been really helpful. That's the second thing on my list. The third thing that I think I want to talk about is the idea that everything is impermanent. So recently in Anjali J's videos that I've been watching as and when, she has been talking about this quite a lot, and it's just very apparent when you're on the go, traveling, seeing different things every day, having very little kind of routine and structure, that everything is constantly changing. And that is true while you're traveling, but also just true in life in general. And the same is true for emotions. Emotions are just very fleeting, especially when you think about the grand scheme of your whole life or the whole history of the universe. Like, emotions are really, really, really temporary. And they can feel very infinite when you're in them, but they will pass. And that does give me a sense of feeling like I can do it and feeling like, that's all right, this is going to be fine. Like I said, when you're in an emotion, maybe you're in a breakup and it's really, really all-consuming, and that's all you can think about. Like, that can feel like your world is ending, but really it's just a short space of time in the grand scheme of your life, you know. I'm not saying that to trivialize any feelings, but it is a useful way of thinking about it, I think. And it also makes me appreciate things more, because good moments are also fleeting and you can't hold on to them no matter how hard you try. Like, I'll sit and journal about things to try and, you know, retain the memories and to remember what I've been doing, and I think that's really a cool thing to do. But it also, you can just never hold on to anything, and you can try and try to hold on to things, but moments always pass, and that is just how it is, unfortunately. I think that the idea of impermanence is just very apparent while backpacking. It's kind of a good philosophy to kind of not hold on to things too tightly, to let things be as they are and appreciate them for what they are and then move on. It's definitely easier said than done. The fourth thing that is on my list is that a sense of control is really quite important for happiness. And this kind of contradicts the last one slightly, but I think they're two separate points, because impermanence is kind of nodding to a larger sense of, you know, your whole life and the the things that are more outside of your control. But there are definitely a lot of things that are within our control. And I think it is more valuable than I realized to have a sense of control in my life. And I was listening to an episode on Mo Gowdatt's podcast Slow Mo with Rangan Chatterjee, who does another podcast called something like Live Better. I can't remember what it's called. He's a medical doctor and he has a podcast. And he's recently released a book. So he was kind of talking about his book and, like, in particular, this one analogy of a three-legged stool, which is his kind of framework for thinking about the things that make us happy and the things that we need in equal proportions and in balance to feel happy. So the first one was alignment and having your inner values and your external actions matching up. The second was contentment, so having a sense of peace and calm with your decisions and, like, how your life is, not kind of craving more than what you have or striving for things that you don't really need, that kind of thing. And the third was control, which was quite surprising to me when he said it, because typically you hear, like, the narrative of, oh, you don't need to control things, like, let it go, things I was kind of hinting to before. But he explained it very well, and he said it's not about controlling the world, because that's inherently uncontrollable, but it's more about controlling your actions and, like, how in control you feel of your life. Because if we're out of control of our lives, then there's a sense of, you know, anxiety and you can't do anything about it, and maybe a bit of despair because, well, this is just the lot that I've been given. Maybe a lack of drive. So he's kind of thinking about what are the things that you can do in your life that give you a sense of control in your lifestyle, and using principles as, rather than a stick to beat yourself up with, more like a compass needle to reorientate yourself to your goals and what you want to do, and having a sense of purpose and, like, control over what it is you want to do with your life. And that all makes perfect sense. So I realized that in my life at home, I guess at university, I had a great deal of control over my life, and I really, really valued that. I really valued getting to wake up at whatever time I liked, to feel productive and to get stuff done and to get to spend time with my friends and have that autonomy in my life. I guess it is really autonomy. And I think one of the things, looking back, that kind of stressed me out initially upon coming out here was the fact that while it is definitely my decision to come out here, like, I've planned this trip and everything, when you're in it, it's very different to when you're planning it. And being in it, I was like, shit, I have much less control over this than I thought. And now that I'm in it, like, my flight back is not until the 16th of December. So it's a long while, you know? It's a long while to be in this side of the world for, really. It's like 4.5 months. And I think just the reality of it all sunk in, which, like I said, simultaneously amazing, exciting, exhilarating, and overwhelming, and scary. So it was just a lot to adjust to, I guess. I don't think I necessarily appreciated that at the time. And I think, yeah, just the sense of control over knowing where I'm going to be waking up or, like, going to sleep that night. You kind of hop on a bus and end up in a new city that you've never been to before, potentially in a new country. And there's kind of, you don't know where you're going to eat. You don't know. It's just basically so many unknowns all the time. And looking back, I think that was one of the main things that made me feel anxious when I first arrived, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And that is definitely exciting. Like, I'm starting to lean into that a lot more, but I've also developed things here that are giving me a sense of control. So being able to work on my videos is like a nice consistent thing that's going on. I'm making more of a conscious effort to journal more often and to check in with family more often and just to keep up things that I would always do at home, and not to feel like I'm some kind of imposter in my life that has just been dropped out of the sky in this random place, because that is definitely a feeling that I had at some points. It's like, how did I end up here? What is this life that I'm living? And now I'm starting to like own it a bit more and to feel more confident in it, to slowly build up that trust that I'm where I'm meant to be and everything's working out as it should. And just to kind of have fun with it a bit more, because it is very scary and it is a lot, but it is very exciting, as I keep saying. So yeah, I think that analogy really helped me in kind of letting myself off the hook a bit, like in the first one, being kind to myself, like stop getting in my own way. It's okay to want a sense of control in your life. It's natural to feel anxious if you feel out of control. So yeah, just bearing that in mind, I guess. And the fifth and final thing is that along with that, I'm learning to match up my actions with what I want to do. And this is actually quite difficult. I find this really difficult, particularly when there's other people involved and it's a group decision and you want to, you know, do what's best for the group. I find it hard to be like, this is what I want to do. Not even in a sense of this is what I want to do, so we're going to do it. Just literally in a sense of what do I actually want to do in this situation, and being able to have an opinion when we're making decisions. It's something that I realise I'm quite out of practice with. And it's interesting because when I'm on my own, I'm actually very good at checking in with how I'm feeling and, you know, listening to my body and doing whatever it is I want to do. But when there's other people involved, suddenly that becomes a lot harder for my brain to compute, because I'm, I guess, thinking about the group as a whole and what everyone wants to do, and I forget to like actually check in with how I'm feeling and what would be best for me in that situation. And generally it's fine, like it doesn't matter to me much which restaurant we'd go to or, you know, which activities we do and which day, like that sort of thing doesn't bother me too much. But I guess there are things that do make me anxious, and noticing what those things are and then being able to communicate that with the other people that I'm traveling with and like actually act on it rather than just doing it anyway sounds like so painfully simple. Somehow there's some kind of mental block going on there, but I've definitely got better at this and it's just practice at the end of the day. But yeah, definitely learning to match up my actions with how I'm feeling. And I guess, yeah, give myself that sense of control back, because it requires a little bit of confidence to, you know, say what you want, but it reduces a lot of anxiety and then that's better for everyone. So yeah, that is the fifth thing. Just learning to listen to myself and then actually act on it. The second part particularly. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback, and if you have traveled before, if you have experienced any similar emotions or anxieties or like things that you've been learning. I potentially will be back with another episode. I'm not gonna make any promises because who knows, but yeah, this just felt like an exhale. I really have enjoyed recording this and hopefully I'll get it up fairly soon. Currently it's the 21st of September and it's crazy because this day 4 years ago was the day that I moved into uni and literally met all of the friends that I'm traveling with. So woke up and looked at the date and I was like, oh, how weird. That's so, so crazy. Things can change so much. And yeah, very, very grateful for the experiences that I'm having, the people that I'm experiencing them with, and Thank you very much for listening. So yeah, I'll be back again at some point in the future. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Have a lovely day. Remember to be kind to yourself, and I'll see you soon. Bye.